It's been a wild and woolly year in presidential politics, and there's still a long way to go until November. The unexpected success of Donald Trump has delighted his supporters and alarmed his critics. On the Democratic side of the race, Bernie Sanders has also exceeded expectations. Trump and Sanders have capitalized on Americans' economic frustration, and many voters remain angry as we move closer to the general election. In Rhode Island, Democrats are wondering whether primary voters will support Hillary Clinton as they did in 2008. And Trump is leading in the latest poll of state Republican voters, despite the lack of an organized campaign here. These are some of the topics we'll explore tonight during Policy and Pino, Rhode Island Public Radio's ongoing discussion series of top state issues. I'm Rhode Island Public Radio political reporter, and I'd like to introduce our panel. Right next to me is Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay, a guy with an encyclopedic knowledge of Rhode Island politics, and of course, for many years, a political reporter at the Providence Journal. In the middle, a rose amid the thorns, is Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller. She has had extensive experience in politics, including serving earlier in her career on the staff of New York Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan and New York Governor Mario Cuomo. And lastly, on the right, the chairman of the Rhode Island Republican Party, Brandon Bell, was elected last March to that important position. He's a lawyer in Providence with Fontaine Bell. So we welcome our panel and thank them for joining us. Let's start with a fairly basic question. President Obama inherited a fiscal crisis when he took office in 2009. 7 years later, the housing market is much healthier, and the U.S. unemployment rate has fallen below 5%. On the other hand, wages have been stagnant for decades, and the middle class is getting squeezed. Still, concerning the general economic improvement, Scott McKay, why are voters so angry this year?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the economy and stagnant wages. I think another thing is more existential. On both sides, I'm looking at what I call nostalgia for the past. On the Republican side, it seems to be a lot of over 65 folks who really yearn for a leave it to beaver, father knows best, monochromatic America. And we're seeing this in some of Trump's appeal. On the left, I think there's some nostalgia there for a time when there was less income inequality, when even poorly skilled workers were protected by unions. The other day, some young kid at work asked me, what are you going to do when you retire? I said, well, I'll have my pension. And everybody looked at me and said, how did you have a pension? What's that? And I said, well, I had a union job for 25 years. And people don't have that anymore. And I think on both sides, there's a lot of anxiety out there. And then you layer this terrorism, these issues, on top of that, and you get people looking for the familiar. In times of rapid social change, I do think people glom on to familiar ideas, and sometimes this might even be unrealistic ideas. I think we're seeing a little bit of that on both sides.
Let's get State Republican Chairman Brandon Bell in on the discussion. Now, Brandon, we've heard a lot about Donald Trump, and I'll let our audience know that you are officially neutral in the presidential race on the Republican side.
Things start getting thrown at me.
Until the GOP has a nominee. But what is your explanation for why voters are in such an ornery mood this year?
I think the economy has improved, going back to your original question. But I don't believe I would submit that it's not because of Obama's policies. It's in spite of them. I think that if you look at the stimulus, almost $1 trillion stimulus, was supposed to have a major impact on our economy, didn't really help. Obamacare, let's be realistic, lower health care costs, promises were made, keeping insurance plans. You can understand why people are actually kind of furious, because those two things didn't happen. So, you know, there are booms and busts, but I would argue that President Obama may have hindered our recovery at a faster pace.
Brandon, I'm going to put you on the spot before we go to Wendy Schiller. There's a last-ditch effort by the Republican establishment in Washington right now to try to derail Donald Trump's presidential campaign. Is Donald Trump going to be the Republican presidential nominee?
I'd say it's going to be an open convention. And that is, you talk about the establishment, and I know we're going to get more into that in a little bit, but when you talk about the establishment, if it was the Washington establishment that was controlling this election, Donald Trump would have more than 37% right now. So there are a huge swath of voters besides the Washington establishment that the majority of which do not support Donald Trump right now.
Now let's hear from Wendy Schiller on the question of why there's such an inclination toward outsiders like Donald Trump this year.
Well, I think the Republican Party, in a very successful national election strategy, starting in 2009-2010, really focused on the overreach of the federal government and focused on ways of limiting the federal government. This is a message we've heard very well articulated since Ronald Reagan by the Republican Party. But in bringing in the Tea Party and using the Tea Party's energy and the Tea Party's mobilization in 2010 to take the House back, and then successfully taking the Senate back in 2014 without the Tea Party, actually, but with the same message, shut down the government, make things limited, make things come to a stop. So then they've given the impression that Washington doesn't work, that government doesn't work at all. And so it's a way of preserving the status quo and blocking Obama for sure, but it also tells Americans that the federal government doesn't work anymore. So they've turned now to somebody who says, over and over, he will make it work.
Wendy Schiller, is Donald Trump going to be the Republican presidential nominee?
I actually think if you had to put money down, not a lot of money, he would be the nominee. I think the problem is that the people who should be turning to Ted Cruz to mobilize Ted Cruz as a viable alternative can't stand Ted Cruz. And they're really thinking to themselves, do we want to sit across the table from either Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, either or even Hillary Clinton, who's our worst choice? And I don't think they know yet, but my suspicion, and Brandon can confirm this perhaps, is that the Republicans have polling data, just as CNN and New York Times and everybody else, that shows that with Trump at the head of the ticket, they could lose other kinds of seats, Senate seats, governor seats, other kinds of Republican races. I don't think Cruz does as much damage at the head of the ticket for the Republican Party as Donald Trump on the down ballot races. So I think that's why the party is actually more divided than I would expect.
We're going to shift the discussion a little bit. I'd like to bring in the news out of Belgium today, the terrible attacks in which dozens of people have been killed and injured. Let's go to Scott McKay. First, Scott, give us your view briefly on whether Trump is going to be the nominee. And part of his appeal for his supporters is he's this kind of strong man who brooks no dissent and strikes some people as a more muscular leader in an age of terror. Will he be the nominee, and how do these terror attacks impact the presidential race?
Well, I think he probably will be the nominee. I want to give myself some wiggle room because it's been such a topsy-turvy year, it's hard to really read it. I think the key problem, the crucial problem for Western societies is how do we deal with the clash of liberty and security? And we know where Mr. Trump stands on that issue, and I think it is a fact that people, particularly people who aren't overly sophisticated in foreign policy, are looking for that strong voice, the person who, you know, talks about building fences, the anti-immigrant, some of the xenophobia and jingoism that we see in Trump, I think is resonating, and I think these kinds of attacks probably do help him.
Wendy Schiller, we know that in politics, timing is the equivalent of location, location, location in real estate. What is your sense of how the specter of terrorism and the ongoing threat from Islamic State will impact the presidential race?
Well, I certainly think it impacts both the Republicans and the Democrats. I think that people get fearful, and you know, some sector of the people voting for Trump believe Trump can do something about this. But a big chunk of the Republican Party worries about Trump and foreign policy and his military advisors. The people he named the other day as his team, you know, I think it's not even the B team or the D team. It's not even people who show up for tryouts. It's people you really do not want to entrust our security with. But Hillary Clinton's got other big problems on that side politically as well. She's got Benghazi. She's got the decision to go into Libya in the first place. So I think that there are difficulties with the front runners on both sides of the political aisle. I think what we have to also understand is that the European treatment of Muslims, the European sort of response to earlier waves of immigration, a failure to integrate has bred tremendous hostility that goes along with the national ISIS and our ISIL jihad, but isn't the exact same thing. And so we have to be very conscious of that in the United States to make sure that we don't breed that same climate of hostility.
We're going to get more into Hillary Clinton's problems in a bit, but first let's get Brandon Bell and his take on how the specter of terror will impact the presidential race.
Just backing up for a minute, just remember how Donald Trump got into this race, right? He didn't say, let's lower the capital gains tax. He said, let's get rid of illegal immigration and those Mexican rapists. Right, I don't agree with everything he said. I don't agree with most of what he's actually said with respect to some of that bombastic rhetoric, particularly about the Muslims. And I thought that was absolutely ridiculous. He projects strength. He's part of this populist movement. And I see some smiles out there when I said strength, but it's this idea of having strength and the attitude of being a strong leader. And that's something that whether or not he would emerge as one, if he were ultimately our president, none of us know, because nobody can make any predictions this cycle. We should all, I don't even turn the volume on the TV anymore. I just look at the pictures. It's like, I just want to see what the polls say. And then I'm like, I don't even want to hear what anyone has to say anymore, because no one can predict anything this cycle.
We've got a little less than 2 minutes left in this segment. Brandon Bell, give me a quick answer on whether the investigation into the email scandal could derail Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign.
The chances of President Obama's administration indicting Hillary Clinton are 0.0. So any of, for all my fellow Republicans in here, even if there's only a couple of you, I will tell you right now, stop holding out hope that there will be an indictment, because that's not going to happen. But our nominee better keep bringing it up over and over and over again. She is not to be trusted with the Clinton Foundation. She's not to be trusted with Benghazi, with the emails. These are absolutely atrocities. They're ridiculous that she's actually going to be the Democratic nominee.
Wendy Schiller, is Brandon right that the Obama administration is not going to cause legal trouble for a Democrat like Hillary Clinton?
Well, I mean, I think it's the FBI. The FBI makes a recommendation to the Justice Department and probably goes all the way up to the Attorney General. So I don't know. This Attorney General is pretty tough. So if there's overwhelming evidence that she broke the law, federal law, I'm not as positive, although I am absolutely sure she'll run no matter what. Her husband withstood an impeachment, and he was impeached, by the way, not convicted. She will run. She may win the presidency. And then she'll go to the Supreme Court and say, let's not let her have the trial. I'm president. It's too distracting. Let's put it off till after I'm out of office. They tried that once. It didn't work, but they'll try it again. So don't expect her to drop out of the presidential race, even if she is indicted.
Let me stop you there, because we're short on time. We're going to take a quick break. Coming up, more discussion of the 2016 presidential race. I'm Ian Donis. You're listening to Policy and Pino on Rhode Island Public Radio. And we're recording in front of a live audience here at the Providence Athenaeum.